Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked,
"Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power."
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
"What does this mean?"
But others sneered and said,
"They're filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them,
"People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Romans 8 reads this, like this: "We know that all of creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God."
As a worship planner and a pastor, our scripture reading this morning makes me nervous. They, the church, were all gathered together for Pentecost, kind of like we gather together each week. It's not clear from the scripture what the disciples had planned. Maybe it was a fairly loose gathering. Maybe they were following along in their bulletins. Maybe, like some of us, they were checking off the items of worship as we got through them. Whatever the plans were for that gathering together for worship, what happens in this scripture is completely unexpected, and that makes me nervous. Worship planning teacher Marcia McPhee once said that she prays before every worship service that something unplanned will happen, that the Spirit will move in a powerful and unexpected way. And there is a small part of me that is right there with her. We sang about it, right? Holy Spirit, come with power. We prayed about it. Move among us, Spirit. Light a fire within this community. We are asking for it, and I'm on board. That is what I want for the Spirit to be alive and work among us, for us to be surprised by the wonder, the power, the beauty, the width, and the depth of God's love for us and love for all of creation. And then I read this scripture where the Spirit actually comes and there's chaos. Everyone thinks the people of the church are drunk. And Peter preaches a sermon completely off the cuff. And that's the moment when I remember I'm a planner. I remember that I like to be in control. I am a person who writes out her sermons word for word every week. And I get really nervous when something alters my plans. I read this scripture and I remember that I have high anxiety, that I am a person who has trouble letting go. Trouble being simply caught up in the moment, in beautiful and moving moments. That I am afraid of change, especially change that would alter my normal life. And being overwhelmed by God's presence sounds much more frightening than figuring out how to keep it at bay. I am both a poet and a control freak. Both fascinated and frightened by drama, both longing for God to come and worried that maybe God showing up like God does in this story would rock my boat a little more than I'm comfortable actually having happen. And yet, I really love what the Spirit is doing in this text. Look what has happened. The fledgling church, this scared, unsure, small group of people, has gathered together, and the Spirit is widening the circle of who they are. When the Spirit comes, falling on each and every one of them, no one is left out. And they begin to speak. They speak in languages that all those who have gathered outside in the streets, all those gathered around, can understand. Because those around them, those on the outside of this little community, they are different. They are not Gentiles like the original. They are not like the original disciples. They are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. They are out-of-town visitors and immigrants. They are immigrants to the city of Jerusalem. They are a diverse group, and the Spirit is widening the circle of the church in order to include them. The Spirit is increasing the diversity of the church. The Spirit is reaching out to all people, because not only are those original disciples able to speak, others are able to hear. Across differences, across language barriers, across cultural differences, across any difference we can put up, the Spirit continues to reach out, expanding the circle, making the church more diverse. We've seen this action by the Spirit each week since Easter, as we have looked at the stories throughout the rest of the book of Acts. The Spirit has been a main character in each of those stories, a primary driver in each case. The Spirit prompted Philip to go and join with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit enlivened their study together across differences of race, class, sexuality, and nationality. The Spirit helped change Saul into Paul in his origin story on the road to Damascus, completely turning his faith upside down. The Spirit sends Peter to Cornelius, but not without inviting Peter first to reflect on what he thinks he knows and to imagine what he might know tomorrow. This is the story of Acts. The Spirit, the same Spirit that is poured out in today's story, the same Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation, this same Spirit is at work in and among the church. The Spirit moves people. The Spirit moves the church, then and now. The Spirit continues to challenge us to reach out, to expand the circle. The Spirit moves the church. Just as the other stories in Acts have pushed the taken-for-granted understandings of those early disciples in order to have the good news proclaimed to the ends of the earth, I wonder if today's scripture might push us a bit in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. We often fall into a trap of thinking that the Spirit is just a comforter or just an encourager. But today's scripture, and in many ways the others we have seen during this season, show us a Spirit that is an agitator as well. When Jesus talks about this Holy Spirit that will be sent to the disciples, he uses a Greek word that you may have heard, paraclete. It's a compound word that means to come alongside another. To come alongside another. Which certainly happens when we need comforting. It happens when we need prayers too deep for words. But that same Spirit can come alongside and agitate or push. It can help us move out beyond our comfort zones. It can help us expand our normal, can help us speak a new language to a new people who are in need of the good news. Maybe that's the main role of this paraclete. To push us out into the streets where the people are in need of us to speak good news in a language that they can hear and understand. David Loess writes, "If we heed the word and work of the coming alongside Holy Spirit, we will inevitably be pushed beyond what we imagine and end up stirring things up." We tend to think of the Holy Spirit as the answer to a problem. But what if the Spirit's work is to create for us a new problem? That we have a story to tell, mercy to share, love to spread, and we just can't rest until we've done so. That message is not necessarily comforting to people like me who get nervous, who like control, who don't change our plans very easily. But there are ways in which it is hopeful. It's hopeful to me because it means we aren't alone. It means the church has vitality and call and purpose and partnership that can keep it moving even when we want to fossilize it. It means that there is always someone new to welcome in. Someone who needs us to speak. Someone who is afraid and running, seeking shelter and refuge. Someone who is hurting. Someone who has been cast out or judged harshly. Someone who needs forgiveness or freedom. Someone who is curious or vulnerable or simply nearby. The Spirit reminds us that, comfortable or not, there is always someone who needs us to find the words to speak the good news. This is the work of the church, and God's Spirit comes alongside, agitating us when necessary to make it so. And so as we prepare to go out into the streets, into the world, and speak this language of life, this language of love, of mercy, of good news, I invite you to hear this blessing for Pentecost, written by Joyce Rupp. May the enthusiasm of the Spirit leap incessantly within you and help you to live a vibrant life. May the warmth of the Spirit's fire be extended through your concern and care for all those who need your love. May the blaze of Spirit's courage enable you to speak the truth and to stand up for respect, dignity, and justice. May the undying embers of Spirit's faithfulness support you when you feel spiritually dry and empty. May the strength of Spirit's love sustain your hope as you enter into the pain of our world. May the clear light of Spirit's guidance be a source of effective discernment and decision-making for you. May Spirit's patient endurance be yours while you wait for what is unknown to be revealed. May the steady flame of Spirit's goodness, the goodness within you, convince you every day of the power of your presence with others. May the joyful fire of Spirit dance within you and set happiness ablaze in your life. May the spark of your relationship with Spirit catch fire in the hearts of those with whom you live and work. May you be mindful of the eternal flame within you. May you rely on this source of love to be your constant ally and your steady guide.